Hi, and welcome to another MindHive podcast. This is Tim. So today's episode, we are exploring the prophetic books. And if you're not familiar with the term prophetic books, we simply mean some of the books of the Old Testament within the Bible context. And there are a bunch of books that were written a whole bunch of years, even before Jesus came, and kind of talk about his coming in a lot of ways, but also they are talking about the way in which the people would live in those times, and they're calling these people to live in a holier way, which is a way that is more in right standing with God. And so we're exploring the relevance of the Old Testament books, and there's a reason why. There's a bit of a story to it, and I guess when people have talked to me using the Old Testament prophet books, I kind of have just, I guess, have taken their word for it. But I guess this is just asking the question, can we take these old books that were written so long ago and say, oh, well, they're relevant for us today? So have a listen. This is Justin and I, and this is the prophetic part one. I'm going to be following it up straight away with the prophetic part two. So have a great listen to this, and thanks again for downloading.
Are we on?
We're on.
Because you found it. Sorry, I just...
We're on.
I shirt-fronted a woman. No, not shirt-fronted. It's very Abbott of me. No, a child was climbing the stairs, and I was worried and created a small scene where we looked for the mother who was looking bewildered. And I told her I was anxious about her son climbing the stairs.
And she's like, no, I am too.
I am too. As well. Yeah. And the child had gone.
Yeah.
Well, up the stairs. Who knows where he'd gone? Start a new life, perhaps.
All kinds of weird stuff happens up those stairs. We don't know what.
I've never been to the top of them.
So, one of the gentlemen here that works at in the kitchen here at the cafe is going to build us an Android app. Because you can get our podcast on iTunes really easily. That's very easy
so
to do.
So for OS devices.
Every iPhone has the podcast app, whether you know it's there or not. Search for it and it'll be there. Well, you would know because you're already listening to this. Unless you're listening.
Well, that would be weird, wouldn't it? It's like, look, the way to find us, you're listening, but we've found you.
But my friend, and this is what triggered it, is my friend has an Android phone. And actually, Andy is the guy who was on last podcast on Winter Is Coming.
Yeah.
Andy's got an Android phone. And I said, oh, check out my new podcast. And he was just asking about it. And I said, and he goes into his Android Play, I don't know, is that what it's called? The store for Android. I think it's called Android Play. And he goes and he searches in there.
I have
there.
No idea.
Yeah, well, that's where he searched the first spot. And I'm like, oh, that's interesting. And I know full well it's not going to come up in the Android Play thing unless we've got an app. And I was like, hey, because there isn't like a podcast app as such. There's several podcast apps on Android.
Goodness.
You have to go into that.
It's horrible.
And then if you just want to listen to a podcast, one podcast.
This makes me very glad I didn't go down the Android road.
So,
because
and
I
then
did
I was
look
talking,
at Android for a while.
Yeah.
I was like, maybe.
I was talking to Jaden. I said,
"Oh,
what do you do, Jaden?" He's like, "I'm studying how to build Android apps." I'm like, "Not iPhone."
Well, there's a
He's
growth
like,
industry.
We haven't got up to that part yet.
Oh,
I'm like, "So you only know how to build Android apps? This is perfect. That's all I need."
Yeah, magic. That's magic.
That's the kid who
that's
was.
The ki- oh yeah, that's
up
the kid.
Stairs.
That's the stair climbing kid.
Still screaming.
Still screaming.
All right. Excellent. So yeah. Anyway. The exclusive world of Android will very soon become available.
I don't think it's fair
us.
To call it exclusive, because I think if anyone's exclusive, it would be
Apple.
iOS.
Right.
But, you know, it protects their... It creates greater quality, because you only have to do it with one device. Whereas poor old Android, heaven knows how many devices those poor engineers are trying to create for.
Yep.
You know, so there's something to think about. You're crying about being hacked continuously.
There you go.
I'm not here to promote anything. I don't care.
And that's a wrap.
Yep, that's it. That's today's episode. Awesome. It's good.
So Ezekiel has a vision, and he's like, God tells him to speak to the dry bones, speak to the wind, and tell it to come forth, and then all of a sudden this field of bones, which you can only assume is there from
a battle
a long time ago, not many, you know, survived to even
I've forgotten about that scripture.
Yeah. Anyway, like, so it's a metaphor for something, and I don't think it's, I don't know, like, how much of the old prophets we can actually claim as relevant for us, but people always do.
I think we should be recording.
We are recording.
Oh, sorry. Is that why you told me off for banging the table?
Yeah.
I'm just sitting there like a moron looking at you. Muttering, I'm so sorry. I'm getting ready to look up Ezekiel, and I'm thinking, I haven't looked in that in years. I'm so sorry.
It's a weird old book. It's a weird old book, but
he's a prophet. Of course,
yeah.
It's weird.
The scene is something significant has happened. A battle has taken out a lot of stuff. There's not much remains of what is healthy left. Everything's dead.
It's a valley of dry bones.
Yes.
So I imagine it's not healthy at all.
But all of a sudden he says, I think I can... God goes, I think we can do something with this.
Is that what it says? God goes,
pretty
I think...
Much. He goes, no...
Yeah, I've got an idea. Hey, Ezekiel, come here.
I've got something to work with here.
I've got... You know
I've
what?
Got bones.
We're going to reanimate these bones.
Yeah.
It's almost like a zombie apocalypse.
So... If someone was to take that as...
This coffee's tepid. Sat. Sorry.
If we were to take that as something that would be relevant for today.
Yes.
What's your
big question here? Like,
my big question...
Is Ezekiel relevant, or is the prophetic in the Old Testament relevant?
I guess a big question... Yeah, a big question is, can we take prophets from the Old Testament, like those books, and go and throw them around willy-nilly like they're available, like they're
yep.
relevant for us 2,000, or actually even more than 2,000 years later, like 3,000 years later even.
Yeah.
You know, and go, well, God inspired it in the first place. Is this relevant for me? Is this speaking to me? Or am I just... I don't know. Am I just to... look at this as a piece of history and go, oh, well, that was a word from God for a people 3,000 years ago. Why is it in the Bible now?
Yeah. Gosh, that's a big question.
Mm.
That's a massive question. Thinking out loud, you're not going to, not you, but we are not going to have any idea about what Jesus is talking about by and large and his significance in Matthew, Mark, Luke and John and Acts unless we have some passing understanding of the Old Testament. And I clarify that. I think you can still read the New Testament and get the gospel and get, hey, this is good news. Hey, this is about, you know, it's a God's got my back here, and the endless resources of God means that I don't have to become materialistic in this life, and I don't need to worry about tomorrow. There's some of the basics we could take from Jesus' teachings, but if you want to understand the depth and the context in which Jesus is appearing in, boy, you know, the Old Testament is essential. It really is essential. The problem with the Old Testament, of course, is we've got it in English. Then we've got to contend with the... And look, English is fine, but just to give a thorough answer, when you read the Hebrew, when you get into the Hebrew behind it, and the way I've accessed the Hebrew is through... there's something called the Word Biblical Commentary, which I just love. It's a bit of a mixed bag. Some of it's like, bleh, and some of it's amazing. So there's just volumes and volumes and volumes on, you know, the different books of the Bible. But when you when you read the Hebrew and you read the commentators going, look, this comes out of this historical period, really does come to life. It really does sing. And understanding the ancient Middle Eastern practices that are constantly being rediscovered. So to give you an example, when Abraham makes an agreement, or there's something about camels in one of his agreements with, I can't remember which group of people it is. I don't think it's the Egyptians, but it could be the Egyptians. But Abraham makes an agreement. He's got camels.
Mm.
Anyway, some of the early 20th century commentators went, well, you know, it's bunkum, because during that period, camels weren't domesticated. There was no domesticated camels. So obviously this was written much later, and it's all a fabrication. If they're claiming these events took place in this period, then this is a lie. Then, I don't know if it's recently, certainly maybe in the last 20 years, there's been some discoveries, archaeological discoveries, where it's very, very clear that camels were in fact domesticated during the period in which Abraham is given camels, or dealing with camels, or has camels he's riding, or, you know, it's part of his collection of things that he's got, his entourage. So, you know, a marriage between archaeology and understanding the Hebrew is an incredible deep understanding to have. But ultimately, it's kind of, you know, episode 1, 2, and 3 of Star Wars. If you jump into episode 4, we all watch Star Wars in episode 4, if you're my age. I mean, yeah. I'm 44. So I watched Star Wars. Fine. I didn't, you know, my New Testament was fine. There's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in episode 4. Like, yeah, cool. I love it. It's great. But if you go, yeah, so where'd the guy in the black helmet come from? What's his family story? Episode 1. Well, who's the emperor? Episode 1. Episode 2. Episode 3. And what it does is you go, I get the political play here. I understand the context. These people, you know, there's a history. There's a very rich history here. And what's also interesting with the... Oh, I'm whistling like an old person. I couldn't even do that if I tried. Cheating. If you... Oh, look at that. Oh, I'm just making all these noises. I've just lost control of my faculties. Well, I don't even know what that noise was. It was mucus. It's my tepid coffee choking me. So if you look at my Star Wars analogy and you look at episode 1, 2, and 3... and you understand the cyclical nature, or the cyclical nature of Star Wars, which echoes, you know, ancient practices in literature, it opens up the metaphor that points to the Bible and the incredible nature of the literature in the Bible. So yes, it is very important to understand it. Now,
so yeah, I guess that taking these books as standalone. And how does this...
Is that that little kid that was climbing the stairs doing that banging?
No, it's another kid.
It's another kid.
I'm just looking over your shoulder. Mum's telling him off. He's still doing it.
I could throw my cup just near them.
The mum is getting annoyed. He's just not interested in listening.
Okay.
If I was the mum, I would take that thing off him.
Yeah.
Because it's...
Just before you judge us, like listener, between us we've got like six kids. No, we've got actually six kids.
We do, yeah.
A dog and a cat. So we know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
It's banging in public.
We've got three chickens as well.
Yeah. Oh, you got chickens?
Yeah.
And then we got guinea pigs.
Oh, yes, you
They're
do.
They're massive.
Yeah.
Sorry, you were saying?
So if someone, some noob like me, comes into a church setting on a Sunday and goes, oh, look.
Well, there's your first problem.
Here's my Bible. Open it up.
Yeah.
Have a look. Oh, here's a book.
Yep.
Isaiah. Oh, yep. Ezekiel. Oh.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden takes a wow, that pen is amazing.
It's mint, isn't it? Sorry, I was sketching, so I didn't
interrupt
you.
And then just like takes some scripture, standalone verse out of it and goes, oh, how does this relate to me?
Wow.
That is very shallow.
That's very Western, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
It's about me. Well, you could argue it is ultimately about them if they're...
No, but like,
they're
not in the way... Not in the way that...
The church.
That you could just read it and go, oh, here's a metaphor for what God can do in my life right now, the Valley of the Dry Bones.
Oh, wow. Yeah, no, fair enough. I think scripture is a prophetic document, and then we're going to talk about what prophetic means. It's God talking to us. And I think God can quicken. God can.
He can inspire.
Illustrate and inspire. Yeah. And I'm sure there's countless stories of people who have done exactly that. Read, okay. Gone, God, would you? I'm really depressed at the moment. I'm really stuck. Do you? And a scripture comes to mind, and it's something like the dry bones where God's going.
Okay, great. Because so that's sure exactly that's what happened to us yesterday.
Oh, wow. So
someone said, oh, look, I've been praying for you guys. Have a read of this particular passage and pray about that and see how, you know, I really felt to share that with you.
And did it connect it, obviously?
Well, it just made me question more than anything.
Oh.
I haven't gone through it yet. But yeah. I'm going to. And I was just wondering about that.
Well, I've come from a very mixed background. I know my early days being very, very much involved in charismatic scenes. I remember, you know, reading the story of Jacob and the well, and when he moves the stone and he waters, gosh, now I'm pushing it, I think it's Rachel's sheep, because Rachel was a shepherdess, I don't know. Rachel rocks up with a bunch of sheep and he wants to impress her and he moves the rock by himself. Jacob does. It takes three guys to normally move it. Jacob moves it by himself. You know, so that's impressive. And she's obviously impressed. But I drew this whole prophetic meaning out of it. And to this day, I don't know if it was nonsense or what it was. I should go back and read what I wrote. We're talking over 20 years ago. But yeah, I certainly read it as a God could use it prophetically in that sense. I think you just have to keep presenting. If you go, oh, I've got this scripture, and it's really talking to me about this issue, I think it can certainly be used in that fashion. I think maybe the way to approach it is primarily understand it as an historical document. Secondly, understand that it's an important prophetic document that it speaks to the day in that it gives us a rich history. And third, I do think God can use the illustrations and the accounts in Scripture that parallel in our life to draw our attention to things. You certainly can use that.
Right.
You know, and if you're opening up the Word and dealing with the Word, you're obviously not simultaneously opening up the entire Word. I mean, there might be a more appropriate Word to open up at, but God will use prophetically what is immediate to us.
Mm.
You know, and God can use anything. I'm sure I've had contemporary music speak to me before as well.
Yes, the great example is God can use an ass.
Yes.
Yes.
Ironically, it's a biblical reference.
Yes. God can use an ass, like when the donkey, that is, ass, you know, speaks to someone.
It's Balaam, isn't it? Balaam and
Balaam. Balaam.
Balaam's beating, wailing on the donkey, and donkey's like, I'm going to save you, angel with a flaming sword. That's not an ochre. Here's a flaming sword, mate.
Flaming sword.
Like literally a sword on fire. That'd be impressive.
Yeah. God can use an ass.
And a flaming sword.
God can use those prophetic books.
Yeah.
If you're open.
Well, I just think once you start engaging with God and praying, thy kingdom come and thy will be done, you've just signed up to go, I want your kingdom to come, and I really want to take a back seat to that.
Mm.
I want to come along for the ride, and I'll do whatever's necessary. The pain is our carnal nature that rocks and rolls all over the place. That's the struggle.